Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we're unlocking our best self, one episode at a time. This is my husband, David Garcia, and I'm Grace Garcia, and I am a people pleaser.
Good intro.
Thank you. I have been thinking about this topic about people pleasing for a couple of weeks now, because it seems that a lot of us are in this boat. Like, you hear it's very common. I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. And it's something I know, like, my whole life, like, I'm a people pleaser, but it's not until the last, I want to say 3 years, where I'm like, okay, I have to do something about this. It's time to try to undo the people pleasing, per se. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, I've been married to you for about, it's going to be 9 years. I don't know, I had to think about it for so long. It's going to be 9 years in the summer. And out of the two of us, I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, I'm the people pleaser.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until you recently went to therapy where you're like, oh, I'm a people pleaser too. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, like, we're completely, I feel like we have two completely different personalities. And the fact that, again, that might look different on the outside for people, like, a lot of us might be people pleasers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good topic to talk about. First, I wanted to ask you, like, so before you went to therapy, you had no idea you were people pleasing? Like, would it come up a little bit? What are some, I guess, questions or things in therapy that made you realize, like, oh, I am a people pleaser?
I never identified as a people pleaser. No. I think I've always been bold in saying, like, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say about me. And I feel like I've portrayed that character really, really well. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that I'm naturally a people pleaser. I feel like I've been beaten into submission to be a people pleaser. And what I mean by that is, I think I went through transitions in my life where, like, preteen, I think I was a people pleaser. And my constant has always been, I want people to love me. I want people to admire me. I crave that. So preteen, I was hard on my sleeve. My emotions just out there. I kept getting, like, rejected, kept getting hurt. And so eventually I was like, okay, I have to change. I need to problem solve this. How do I do this? I become what I call my jerk phase, where I don't really care about anybody, and that really worked well for me. So I think that identity took root really, really well in me, where I saw a lot of quote-unquote success in my life for not caring what people think and kind of getting what I wanted from having that personality. But later on in life, let's call it late 20s, early 30s, actually, from the time that I got married to the time that I moved to California, okay, was when I feel like I started to get beat into submission. What I mean by that is, I've always, again, it's always been a constant. I do, whether I want to admit it or not, I do want to love people. I want people to love me. I want to have great relationships. I want to have good friendships. I want to be open with people. I want to be vulnerable with people. Yeah. I just, like, crave that, just pure love, really. And so I came here with the same attitude. I don't really care, blah, blah, blah. But then I kept hearing over and over again, whether it was said verbatim or, like, the essence of what was being said was this, which was, like, I just kept hearing over and over again, David's a jerk. David's bold. David's rough around the edges. The dude is, like, I don't know, the ugly duckling, the black sheep. And I just kept hearing it over and over again. And at first, the pride just, like, carried me. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't, you know, whatever. But little by little, I think I started, without really, like, consciously, like, thinking about it and meditating on it, I realized, oh, I do care about it. Enough so where I started to be less of that jerk. And it wasn't even reverting back to who I was preteen. It was more like, let me throw on whatever mask I need to put on to make the group that I'm in happy at the time. And the problem with that for me has always been that mask only lasts so much. The pressure builds within me and then I usually just pop. And I pop usually pretty ugly. I say a bunch of bold, rude, just too forward of things. And people usually go, all right, we're done with you. And so going through therapy, I realized, you know, what I had been doing in the last 8 years, 9 years of my life, which was I want people to like me. I do care. I do care what people's opinions are of me. And I didn't want to constantly be hearing like, oh, David this and David that. Like, I was tired of it.
Yeah.
I was really tired. And honestly, like, you could even say like, I felt like the ugly duckling, you know, like I've never really said that out in the open. This is the first time I even tell you, like, I felt like the ugly duckling. I felt like the loner, the guy who couldn't fit in because I wasn't accepted for who I was, let's say. And so, yeah, so I was changing who I was, but then, so going through therapy, I realized, you know, I do care about people. I'm changing who I am, and that's why I keep blowing up. And I told the therapist, I feel like I got a group of friends. I put on the mask. The things that I learned before, like this is the things that the last group was complaining about. So I'm going to fix that and fix it for the next group of friends that we have. Mm-hmm. And we have the next group of friends. And then eventually, again, I blow up. And then we find a new group of friends. And just like, okay, everything that I heard from this group now and the past group, now I'm going to try to change it this time. And I'm like, this time it's going to be different. And I remember my therapist just chuckled. It was just like, yeah, you keep repeating the same thing. And basically it was that I wasn't aligned. I wasn't authentically being me. And so there was misalignment within me. And that was what made the frustration. But the point is, yeah, I'm a people pleaser in that aspect. I'm not naturally a people pleaser.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I was beat into submission with that.
So your environment and the people around you made you a people pleaser, or your desire.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, I mean, that the way that you said it, like really, really sounds victimized. And I guess that is kind of what I said, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm like curious as to why in Canada that wasn't the case. Like, do you think because they knew you for such a long time?
No, I think it's just let's call it the culture. Honestly, I think it started with your family. And that was a big, like, struggle at first. When I, you know, because I feel like when I first met you guys, I was the nice guy, the thoughtful guy. I remember all the stories that you used to tell me before, like, your family loved me or whatever. But when I, like, starting a relationship with you and it was getting more serious and they started seeing like the more like real side of me.
Yeah.
They were like, oh man, like dude's rough, you know? And I feel like I kept hearing it from your family. Whereas back home, they kind of just knew me, you know, like and I'm not going to say that I was always accepted from the get go. For me, it's always been, when I meet new people, it's always taken time. I'm talking years for people to be like, kind of like see through like the outer skin and be like, no, the dude's got a good heart.
Yeah.
Like the dude cares, you know? Cause yeah, I remember being in like a church and I remember like there was families that, oh, David's so rude, or he doesn't like greet us, or he, you know, like just certain things where I'm just like, I don't really care, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like to care so much about people's opinions and like, oh, like I don't want to hurt your feelings because I didn't greet you, you know? Like for me, for the gist of it is like, I love my church. So like, yeah, it just feels like a lot of pressure, a lot of weight for me to be like, oh my gosh, like you're going to get hurt by me not greeting you. So I'm going to make sure that I greet you. And that just wasn't me. But anyways, so I had families like, you know, complain about me. And then years down the road, they ended up loving me. And just like, I think they just saw like the dedication, you know, that I actually loved the church, that I wanted to see the church grow and develop, and I was invested in the church, and I was trying my best, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's always been that cycle of like, oh, he's rough around the edges. Let's take time. And oh my gosh, like he's a nice guy. So, but the people that were really close to me always kind of knew me and they accepted me, you know? And I always kind of knew because I've always had friends that are very passive or very like soft, very like, they just, you know.
Like me.
You could say like better people than me in certain regards, you know? And they would just put up with me. And I know that I would like cross certain lines or push boundaries or whatever. And, you know, you making me talk about this right now actually makes me like appreciate them. And I don't think I've really thought about it and appreciated them like that because, yeah, like there's certain things where I remember like certain friends there's one like Eric Medina, like that dude, a beautiful heart, really nice guy, just put up with a lot of my just jerkishness, I guess. Yeah, they just accepted me for who I was and they knew like the core, like kind of like what you do with everybody. Like you kind of like pre-warn everybody like, oh, don't worry. Like he's rough around there. Just give him time. And then you guys are going to know like how great he is, you know, like, yeah. And then like with you doing that, it makes me feel like I should come with a warning sign or like,
but just a warning. So should label. I not?
Or no,
you don't mind? Like, how do you feel about that?
I think it just like, keeps cementing or affirming the identity that I feel like I've grown into here in California, which is David's rough around the edges, but he's an ugly duckling. But if you really get to know him, like.
But that's not a good thing, is it?
I don't think so.
So then I shouldn't be saying that.
But if you don't say that, then like it, for you not to say it, it doesn't make it not true. If that makes sense. Like, I can be rough around the edges, you know, like I am trying my best.
So what's the, I guess like for people who may be confused if, cause I think it goes back to like people pleasing, right? Like not knowing your identity a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being confused and saying, oh, am I this person? Am I that person? Should I care?
And with people pleasing, you kind of lose yourself.
Yeah.
You can definitely lose yourself. Because I remember in one of the therapy sessions, I told him, he was like, who are you? And I'm like, honestly, dude, at this point, I don't even know who I am.
Yeah. And and I think it's a hard journey to try to find yourself back. Because then, like, as you're talking, I'm like, okay, what is just like, because you said you had like jerkish tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So in your head, are you like, oh, I can't get rid of those because that's who I am. That's who I was before the people pleasing. Is it like the church thing, for example, is it just like maybe bad manners, like not going in and you're like, oh no, that's who I am though. I'm just not going to change. Like what becomes where you shouldn't care? Cause I do think for sure, like walking kind of on eggshells, I see people pleasing, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to make this person mad. I don't want to hurt this person. You're thinking about everyone else, not even about them. It's just about the reaction or like how they view you, which is kind of selfish, right? It's how they're going to view you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are things that one should change, like take into consideration versus be true to who you are? Like
that's so hard. Like I don't think I can give like a correct or healthy answer just because I honestly think that there's a good amount of social awkwardness within me. Okay. And what I mean by that is like in certain social like situations, I feel myself having to ask people like, what's the right thing for me to do here? You know, cause sometimes I just don't know. And maybe it was because I didn't really have much of a social life living with my parents because we didn't go out. We didn't socialize with people. We didn't even hang out with other family. Like it was just us.
Yeah.
Like I got to hang out with like friends for like an hour or 2 hours during the day, whatever. And that's it. Like, so I didn't grow up, I guess, learning these social like cues, protocols or whatever, right? And so when somebody complains like at church, like, oh, he didn't greet me, I kind of like have that mentality of like, well, I don't even care about that. Like, why are you making this such a big deal? I kind of justify it as I'm looking at the bigger picture. Like I'm here at church, I'm investing time, like I'm investing hours, and back then it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm investing hours, like I could be out doing other things. Like, so like my actions is telling the church, like, I love you guys. I'm trying my best, you know? And it was very irritating to hear somebody say, oh, like, I'm hurt because he didn't greet me, mm-hmm. you know? And so for me, that's why I said, I don't know if I can give like a healthy answer. There's certain things where I'm like, that shouldn't hold a lot of weight. That shouldn't be a big deal. But some people like get really in their feelings and like, no, that really messed with me, you know? And I feel like if you're an ultimate people pleaser, like everything can sway you. And I think, like me. I think like, and yeah, I think you would be more like that. And that's why I said like, you're more of a natural people pleaser where I am less of a natural people pleaser. I'm just like, I don't want to be alone. So I want to be, I'm going to be a people pleaser enough to have like at least a small group of friends, you know, like I don't care about everybody liking me or loving me. I just need a small group of people that truly like, you know, we have a good connection. And so that's why like in those instances, I just shrug it off and I'm like, that person is being a baby. That person, you know, like I don't care that much. And so, yeah, that's why like you, I guess, are more of like, you care about everything, right?
Well, I was going to say, because I wish we had like a therapist or something on the podcast, because I think there's such a small, like fine line. Of like, I, as you were talking, I think of like Paul, right? Like to the Gentile, I became a Gentile. To a Jew, I became a Jew. Where there is this adaptability to like reach people, right? Or to connect with them so they get to know you.
I
like how I see it is don't change your identity. And I think people pleasing for sure changes your identity. I think that's why it's wrong. And the Bible says people pleasing is wrong. And so Paul didn't do it for that reason of like, I want to be accepted. Like he knew his value. He did it for kind of how you said, right? Like to, for them to be like, oh, we like him. And then he'd be true to himself and say, I'm not changing for you. I kind of like hooked you in and this is the truth, right? So they could hear him out. And so I'm like, okay, at what point should we be adaptable?
I think there's a fine line. I'm going to push back on that example that you gave and simply because there was a purpose for him saying like to the Gentiles, I become a Gentile. Like the purpose was I'm trying to build a bridge so I can introduce Jesus to you. Right. But listen, like that is not the same thing as people pleasing. That is completely not the same because it's like, okay, the culture that you're in, I'm going to go under that culture. Culture is one thing. Emotions is another thing. So like culture, like if you guys, when you walk into a house, you guys take off your shoes. I'm going to take off my shoes, you know?
Okay.
But if it comes into like, oh, I don't like how you took off your shoes. He didn't do that. Like there's a difference between overall culture to one single person saying like, I don't like the way that you did that.
Oh, but don't you think the culture is like to greet people? Like when you walk in and you see people, it's like, oh, hi. Like I would say that's part
but
of the culture.
Every single person. And that's the thing. Like I again, socially awkward, right? What my go-to response, and sometimes I say it out loud, corporate goodbye, you know, just like a whole, like, instead of going by one person, like every single person, just a hug, maybe a little kiss on the cheek, like, dude, see you later. Oh, like, see you later, like one by one, see you, like, there could be like 50 people. I'm like, nah. Goodbye or hello, everybody.
I mean, and that's fine, but I feel like the people who got hurt, you didn't take corporate. But I mean, again, you married into, and the reason why probably family was such a big like turning point for you, my family, is because you're married into like a pastoral family, which since we were young, it's like look the certain way, act the certain way, do these certain things because people's eyes are always on you. And so we have like on one side, people pleasing for a little while of your life. And then someone who has, it's been ingrained in us because people are watching you. People are watching you. If you don't say hi, you're going to make not just you look bad, the whole family look bad. We're a priesthood family. I'm not saying, like, I'm sure they had good intentions. I don't think they wanted to raise a people pleaser, right? But you come, like, to a family with that kind of context.
And like, it's not just, I think, the pastoral thing. I think it was a culture shock in regard to, like, I was so used to just, like, being, like, roughhousing both physically and like verbally, right? where you guys are not used to are not used to that at all. Like you guys were not like, you couldn't say anything. Like you guys got hurt so easily. You guys got so offended so easily. Like you guys couldn't handle nothing. Like I couldn't say like one small joke. You guys would be like, and I, and just think about it. Like, okay, we're talking about, you know, emotional things, but like, I don't know if this is even a right, like, adaptation or a right, like,
comparison,
but like one culture, let's say like, I don't know, somebody from Africa comes into your home. You expect them to be the way that you are, and you're shocked at the way that they're being. You're like, that's not how we do it in this house, or that's not how we do it in America, whatever. Yeah. It's just like, at what point do you accept the people that are coming from the outside into your house, into your circle, whatever, and be like, all right, they come from a different place. Mm. Like, we're going to try to see the best in this person. Or, you know, but I honestly felt like, I came in here and I was just like, no, buddy, that's not how we do it here. You need to completely change. You're all wrong. Like,
yeah,
that honestly, it sucked, you know? And again, just me having that chip on my shoulder, like I never showed that. I was, you know, the pride and like, oh, whatever. You guys are just being a bunch of wimps or whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, fight back with pride. But I think in the reality, that's like, it sucked. Like, you know, like,
no, I mean, I completely agree. I think those are really bad years because, I mean, you're saying, I think, I mean, we were both very young, didn't go to therapy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think we both did a lot of hurting each other because on one hand, I was overly sensitive. And then I remember in therapy, we talked about it where I was like, I need to have a screensaver where it says like, he loves me, like calm down or something. I forgot what I put on my screensaver. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, like, you were like, you're such a sensitive flower. And like, you'd like, knowing I can't handle it, like just keep throwing that at me. So I think it was like both, we just were both completely opposites and both completely valid and not knowing how to meet halfway for each other. So there was definitely, but that's like a completely different
topic. Yeah, yeah.
But that would be a good thing to talk about. I think even with my, I think Melody would be a good guest to bring on.
Which, that would be tough.
Shout out Melody. But I think it'd be good because I'm pretty sure it's not just our family who had to go through it. And now you guys have a beautiful relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be so interesting, Melo, let me know if you're interested, to see how you navigated it. What are some things that people who are dealing with this now can keep in mind? Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure. I was like, am I a true people pleaser? And then I looked at this list and I said yes to every single thing on this
list. There's a list to see if you're a people pleaser?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay, so number one, you struggle to say no even when you're overwhelmed.
That's definitely you.
You feel responsible for other people's emotions.
Definitely you.
You avoid conflict at all costs.
Holy moly. That's you 1,000%.
You crave validation and approval. Mm-hmm. You apologize excessively. Mm-hmm. You feel guilty for prioritizing yourself. Oh, mm-hmm. You change your personality to fit in. Mm-hmm. And you often feel resentful or burned out. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all me.
Yeah, that's all you.
And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I mean, that's all me. Do you relate to any of those?
Say the one by one again.
You struggle to say no even when you're overwhelmed.
No, I could say no easily.
You don't feel responsible for other people's emotions.
There are times, yes, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I find myself, because of my people pleasing, because before I used to have a more, like, you know, me brusco, you know? And on one side, you could say, oh, I love that about David because he always tells the truth. But at the same time, like, it could be, like, I didn't know how to communicate it well, whatever. Because of that whole thing, over time, I've felt myself pull away from being the truth teller and more towards like, how do I communicate this as best as possible so the person that I'm telling this truth to will receive it the best. But a lot of times I sugarcoat what I'm saying. And I sometimes do think about it after, and I like get like the resentment and the kind of like the burned out, like this is, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know, but like now because there's certain people that I truly care about. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hurt them and I don't want to push them away. And so I'm like, I'm going to watch how I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I see this in them and I could say it like a very just, but I'm not going to. I'm going to try to communicate the best way. But because I sugarcoat, I don't feel like they get the full gist of it or whatever. And maybe they do need it. And so, yeah, there are certain people where I'll like, for the people that I don't really care about, I'm like, you're going to get this truth and whether you like it or not, you know.
I think that's just like learning, like your, I guess it's the intention, right? Like, am I saying this to her, being mindful but still being true to yourself, which is again a fine line.
But okay, so where the people pleasing comes in on this is you can have that, like I can have that security of myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this out of a bad place. I'm saying this because I want this person to like be better. You know, like I always want better for the people that I love. But the crazy thing about relationships is that there's two people in this relationship.
Yeah.
I may say it with the best intentions that I have, you know. How many times have me and you have been through this? Or I say something and you get offended. And I go, what the heck? Like, I told you the truth. No, yeah, okay, you told me the truth, but it's how you said it. So I didn't receive it well. I don't accept it, you know, like, and so in those scenarios, I find myself, okay, like I got to people please.
Yeah.
And that's where some of my misalignment comes in, where I'm like, sometimes I don't even say the truth anymore. Like, I'm just going to bite my tongue because I know that I might upset this person and I don't want the drama. I don't want, you know, I'd rather them like me than me telling them the truth and then walk away. But that's something that I've had to learn in the last little bit, that the people that are going to truly love you are going to stick with you for you being who you are. And the ones that don't, let them go.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. And then, so the third one is you avoid conflicts at all costs.
I definitely avoid some conflicts. Yes. Not all of them, but some.
You crave validation and approval.
I do. Mm-hmm.
You apologize excessively. That's...
again, it kind of in the same scenario where the people that I sugarcoat with, I may sometimes apologize and be like, you know, I'm sorry, but like, you know, not excessively though.
You feel guilty for prioritizing yourself? No, you're like, I'm gonna come back at 5:00. I have to do the gym.
You don't even let me answer. All right, cool.
I mean, you answered for me. You're like, that's definitely you. That's
no,
definitely.
I just went,
No, you play it back.
All right.
Now, what do you think? Do you feel guilty though? You could say I'll be back at 5:00 and still feel guilt.
Nah, for the most part, I don't. The only time I'll feel guilt if I prioritize myself is like with the kids or with you. Like if you want to do something or the kids want to do something and I were to like, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to go do this. No? Okay.
I mean, you're the only one who knows.
I'm telling you.
Okay. I believe you.
Okay, next.
You change your personality to fit in.
Yeah.
And then the last one you said, right, that sometimes you feel resentful or burnt out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that list, I hope you guys are able to like, oh, is that me? Because I think that's a lot of people, or maybe some people don't have all of them like me, but maybe like four like you do or three. And I think, I know for sure that's not what God wants us to, but it's so crazy how God didn't create us like that, but it's so in our nature. And I'm assuming it has to do with like the sin, where it's we want what should come from God, right, from other people. And it's so like a dopamine hit when we get other people validation, when we get that instant like smile or compliment, or we see the reaction that it starts. What is it? What's that word where it like keeps happening and happening? And so we get conditioned. We get conditioned to be people pleasers because they're like little shots of dopamine hit. Like I love to learn the science of it. And I just wanted to read like what the Bible says about people pleasing. This is in Galatians chapter 1, verses 10. This is Paul. And he says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If people pleasing were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant, which I feel like for me was pretty convicting because, I mean, my goal is to be Christ's servant first. Mm-hmm. Like before any of my roles, before I'm a wife, before I'm a mom, which those roles are important to me, I should be Christ's servant. Like I know I'm made by him and for him. But then, like, I'm constantly trying to get the approval of people. It's like, you cannot, just how you cannot serve two masters. Mm-hmm. You cannot try to do both at the same time. But it's like, how many of us do try to do both, especially at the church? I feel like their church it's run by a lot of people pleasers because it needs a lot of help. And so a lot of the time people serving that they're deemed for, like, great sacrifice, right, and great work ethic are mega people pleasers. Mm-hmm. Would you say so or no?
Yeah, you could say that.
And what are you thinking as I'm saying? Because your face, I feel like I could see your wheels.
Oh, I only went in to ask you a question. That's it.
Oh, ask me. Well, but I see, I saw the moment, I guess it popped into your head.
My question would be, now that you've identified this, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I'm going to try to not be a people pleaser, but it goes back to my goal that I think has been 3 years now, where it's like practicing no, which I feel like I got really good at for that year. And now that I'm serving again, I have to catch myself and be like, oh, you want to say yes to everything? Would you say?
I don't think you've gone back on that. I think you're still pretty solid on that. I think you're picking and choosing wisely what you're spending your time on. I'd say that, yes. But the rest of the list? And that's why, okay, so here's the thing. If you guys know me, then you guys know me. And if you don't, you're getting to know me. Which is, Grace said, she feels convicted after reading this verse.
And you're holding.
And the moment that she says, I feel convicted, or anybody that I love says I had this epiphany, I immediately go, all right, can't let this be an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
You're on a high right now. How do we keep you there? How do we keep you accountable? How do we so that's why I'm asking Grace right now, what is your plan? Because you can't just be convicted and be like, oh, I'm convicted. And then tomorrow you forget about it and poof, the conviction goes away. I guess you weren't really convicted.
Yeah. Well, one of the things which, I mean, I'm glad you're saying that it is better of me saying no. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been so automatic of this yes, this no, this yes, that I've kind of bypassed the question of asking myself, why am I saying yes or why am I saying no? Mm-hmm. And I think I have to get back to, why am I saying yes? Why am I letting go of this opportunity or whatever? So that I don't fall into that pattern and habit. Because maybe in the last couple of months, where I had to stop serving at a ministry. And it was, so hard for me. And you're like, Grace, you're just being a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And it was so hard for me. And I'm like, am I a people pleaser? And I made it this huge deal. My leader, the pastor, was so sweet about it. Everyone was so sweet about it. I was in my head. It was in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, am I a people pleaser still? Because it was so hard for me.
In that scenario, it was frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you were making it this humongous big deal. Oh my gosh, the worlds are going to be crushed. I don't know what's going to happen. And the thing that I always feel that you fear is some sort of conflict, some sort of
it's
not going to go smooth. If it doesn't go smooth, how am I going to deal with it? And usually a little bit of a side note, but almost kind of the same thing. Grace definitely does not like conflict. You don't know how many times, guys, back in the day, we used to get on text fights all the time. And this girl, ooh, she's pretty good at bam. And I used to call her a keyboard warrior and blah, blah, blah. And I would get home and I would go straight to where she was. And I'd be like, tell me what you just said on text. And this girl, if you've ever seen a kitty cat just in fear, just she curls up and just tucks her tail between her legs. And like, I don't feel like I'm being rude. I'm just like, tell me what you were telling me in the text.
And you're just like, you're snarky and prideful.
You don't want to say it. And that's how much Grace hates conflict.
I'm getting better now at telling you in your face.
I mean, we don't get in fights like that anymore.
That's true, but I'll tell you to your face.
Yeah. but my point is like,
yeah,
you blow things like complete. And in that scenario with like the you leaving the, I'm like, they're not going to get mad at you. They're not going to get crushed. But like, I identified it as, I'm like, you're so guilt driven. And like that guilt, like it shouldn't even be there. Cause you're like, okay, let me make it better. Let me buy them some gifts. I don't know if you got them food or whatever.
It was candles. That I don't regret. I think
Of course you don't regret it. Like it's a good gesture.
And, yeah.
But I feel like that came out of like guilt. Like let me like soften the blow. Let me just like, you know, it's almost like okay, you can identify this. Like okay, and maybe you guys can too. Like picture yourself as a kid. And if you had to give your dad bad news or your mom bad news, and you always like, as a kid, you think, how can I soften this blow? What's the right timing? What's the right way? Like, what's the right way to communicate it? Do I get them a donut? Maybe they love donuts. I soften them over the donut and then give them the bad news. Like, I feel like that's what you did in this scenario. And I'm like, there's no need for it. And you made it, and then you have to again, and I roll my eyes because you're like, oh my gosh, it took us so well. Oh my gosh, they were so supportive and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I told you it wasn't that big of a deal.
But I didn't think they were not going to be supportive. I don't know. I honestly don't know like why I blew it out of proportion, but I think it was to people pleasing.
Okay.
Like wanting to do all of it.
Here's a question. Here's another question for people pleasers. In that scenario, how much toll was there on your emotional state?
Oh, I was stressed.
Okay, and that's one of the things that people pleasers need to like identify and fix.
Yeah.
Because that is not good for you. A, the stress, you know, the cortisol, whatever. But just carrying around a burden that you probably don't even need to carry around.
Yeah, like we put it on ourselves.
That's 100% not good for you. Like you can't focus on the things, like talking about stealing focus, like that steals your focus.
Yeah.
Should you not be focusing on other things, be clear-headed, like, okay, sure. I'm on a mission, but here I am creating scenarios in my head, like, oh my gosh, this thing's going to go bad, and I'm da-da-da-da. Like that's super important for people pleasers to like, we need to clear that out.
For sure.
And okay, we say for sure and we identify and we're like, okay, we need to clear it out. But the almost core question would be, because again, if you don't identify an enemy, you won't be able to know how to fight it, right? Mm-hmm. Right now we're kind of talking about all the surface stuff. Okay, certain things, because if you're a people pleaser, take a toll on you, stop doing it. Easier said than done, you know, like, it's almost like a pre-wiring that's happening in your brain, mm-hmm. your heart, whatever. Like there's some things that you can't even control. Like I could tell you like, okay, next time, don't worry about it. And then the next time will come. And guess what? Because you're just conditioned or whatever, you're pre-wired for that. It's not like you're going to be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you'll be able to kind of talk your way out of it.
Yeah.
But the question now is, where does that people pleasing come from for you? Because again, you're more of a natural people pleaser. You've always been this.
I'll probably say what I've said before. I think it comes from maybe being the second child, like a middle child. It comes from the pastoral background. I think my mom was a people pleaser. And so maybe seeing that and just like my calm personality, like I'm known, I think, like to be a peacemaker, but maybe it's like, was that first and then people pleasing, or was it people pleasing and then that? Like,
but what would you feel? Okay, fine. Let's I'm gonna try to dig deeper. What would your life look like? Imagine your life if you weren't a people pleaser. Like, would your life be more lonely? Like, is the fear that your life would be more lonely, less people would like you, less people would affirm you? Like, what would your life look like? Because there's a reason why you're driven to people pleasing, right? Yeah. And so that the opposite of people pleasing, like, What is it that's driving you? Is it fear?
I mean, as you were saying, and this might, I don't know, this might probably sound like what? Because I feel like it's the opposite. Like when you said, is the fear like being alone? Like, no, like that sounds nice. I'm like not having to go to parties or events because I'm people pleasing. I'm like, no, that sounds nice. So I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. Even like fear of not being liked. Like I think I'm a likable person, so I've never had to fear that. Like I never thought about it. Like I'm doing it to be liked. Like I feel like it just naturally, which just sounds conceited, but yeah. And then I think it's the lack of conflict. Like because I imagine like if I didn't people please, what would happen? And immediately is like, I wouldn't have the peace that I have now, which is probably like this fake manufactured peace. So the opposite just was like a conflict that I don't want to have to go through, like deal with.
So the reason why you're a people pleaser is you just want zero conflict.
If based off of the questions, like at the top of my head, yeah, I think so.
Okay. So why are you running away from all conflicts? What is it about conflicts that makes you nervous?
I don't know.
Come on, I'm trying to have a therapy session with you. Like,
this isn't
going to work if you don't open up.
I'm like trying to think maybe it's the lack of having conflicts. So not knowing how to properly navigate them. Maybe it's like my older sister and younger sister, I feel like they're fine kind of like being in conflict. So maybe getting overstimulated and like, I don't want to have to deal with that. Maybe it's being like shy and timid. And so as a little kid, if I saw it, like I'm like, I just kind of gear more towards that. I don't know.
Okay. But I guess at the very least, we've identified more closer to what is it that drives you to be a people pleaser. And you're saying that it's, you're trying to avoid conflicts at all costs.
Yeah, but which is interesting. Because I do think if I need to, as an adult, tell someone the truth, and even though I'm like, oh, this might go south, I think I'm getting better at that.
Okay.
And so... yeah, I want to know, like, is it really conflict? I don't know. But that I'm a people pleaser?
That's so helpful.
I am. And so, going back to, like, what am I going to try to do about it? Mm-hmm. Is also even, because I said about the no part, right? Like, think, why am I going to say yes? Like, what's the process? Get practicing, say no. But also I think pausing before I say a yes. Kind of going back to the same thing. Like, why am I doing it? And then one thing I think it's good, it's like setting small boundaries, which I feel like I've been doing, but then with confidence, because that's the part where I feel like I don't have down. For example, the closest one I can think of is like the most recent, like over the weekend, where it's like, oh, we have to meal prep, right? That's like a boundary. We're leaving at this time. Mm-hmm. But I don't have the confidence. Like, I'm just like, oh, we have to meal prep. Like, I'm just like, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
And so that with confidence part, I have to practice. Like, this is a good thing. Like, I'm proud of us. But I'm not there yet. But I know I have to be. Does that make sense? You want me to keep going down on my list?
Yeah.
Stop over explaining. And I just did that too. Like someone asked me, can you do this or whatever? And I said, no, because I give them like three reasons why I couldn't.
Your justification.
I don't know why I can't just say no. I feel, and maybe that is part of like how people see me. Like I feel like they're going to think the worst. She's lazy. She's busy with like unimportant things.
That just brings into mind like the times where you're like, babe, so-and-so asked me to do this. And I'm like, tell him no. And then you take like forever. And I'm like, why is she taking that forever to like, and then I look at your phone and it's like this like small paragraph of no. And here's like my three reasons why I said no. And I'm like, holy moly.
So I wonder if that, I mean, that for sure, I'm not wondering, but for sure ties in with my three, Enneagram three of like, I get value in my ability. Cause it's like, I know my identity. Like I know I'm, busy, not busy, but just like I'm doing stuff with my life. I'm not lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not careless, or it's not that I don't care about you. It's like this, but it's like I need people to see that too. And that's a three thing. Like validate that my value is found in my work, which it's not good value being found in work. But I think I'm like, I have to justify myself. Like, so that's going to be a hard one. Cause I'm like, okay, I can say no, but these are the reasons why. And just like, no, they don't have to know. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. And then letting go, how you said, of guilt, which is like reminding myself, like, I am not responsible for their happiness. So if I have to say no, and if they get butthurt, like, that's not a me issue. That's a them issue. Mm-hmm. But it's like I feel like I have to coddle them. I don't know why. Are you getting triggered?
I keep hearing these things and I'm just like, I wish you would either A, open up, or try to dig deeper into like the why. Because more than what you're saying, like these practical things to do,
yeah.
What's more important is the where is this coming from?
And I wish I knew, like I'm trying to think. Like, I don't remember if it was like someone scolded me as a young kid.
And I honestly don't even think that you need to like have one specific moment in your childhood where you're like, this is what made me like this. What I'm trying to get at is like, okay, so I tried to like dig deeper, right? And I got as far as you're trying to avoid conflict at all costs or whatever. Yeah. And you're saying these things and you're like, oh, like, I have a hard time just saying no. And you said, I have to coddle people. And I'm just thinking, okay, what if you didn't coddle them? Like in the moments that you did coddle them, if you didn't coddle them, how would you feel? And why would you feel the way that you feel? Because you didn't coddle them.
Yeah, I think I'd feel mean.
Okay. And then?
And I wouldn't like it.
And why would you not like it?
Because I'd feel mean.
So it's, you would look down upon yourself, or would, okay, now we, okay, so would it be because you would look down upon who you are being in the time, or is it because you think the other person is looking down upon you, who you're being in that time?
It can't be both.
I guess.
Because I feel like it'd be both. Like, oh, I'm so mean, I wish I could. And they probably think I'm mean too.
Okay.
And which goes back to your lack of identity, you know? Like, I'm not mean. This is
Yeah, exactly.
But easier said than done.
Huh?
I'm like, easier said than done. Because I feel like I know I'm not mean, but in that moment, I can't help. But maybe it's because I haven't practiced enough. And so just practicing is going to instill, like, you are not mean. You are not, you feel this, and it kind of like, kind of get used to that feeling, if that makes sense.
Well, it might be that we're different. Because for me, like, I always say the same thing. For me, situations in life are kind of like a math equation. Mm. X plus Y equals Z, right? You know the final answer. The final answer could be the practical things that you're talking about. Here's what you need to do to be able to live a more healthy life in this regard of people pleasing. And then you got kind of like the beginning part, which is, okay, here's the list of things that make you a people pleaser. I have all these things. And I feel like there's a thing missing in the middle where it's like, where does this come from? Why is this happening? Like, what is the identity here? And me personally, and I'm not saying this has to be you, but me personally, I need to have that middle part. If I don't have that middle part, I don't care about the answer, because the answer is not going to help me, because I haven't identified where this is coming from. I could practice this all you want, but if you never identify the core, the practice is just going to be kind of like what Atomic Habits is. Discipline, 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 discipline. Yeah. But you never got to the core. So discipline is only going to take you so far.
Yeah. And I think part of me thinks like, oh, the core is probably something like kind of like the same thing everyone deals with. Like everyone has these issues of like either when I was little or like the church having to, like I think the church saying you're Christian, automatically you have to modify your behavior to make sure people, like, you're seen as nice, you're seen as holy, you're seen as not sinning, you're seen as this. So I'm like, it could be so many different things. I'm just like, okay, cool, but what am I going to do to change that?
Yeah, Like I said, we could be different in that regard.
Yeah. And I do think, again, how we said, like, one is the lack of identity. And so reclaiming that, which I think journaling is helping me. And so I need to practice it more and just realize that same thing. I think recognizing that I'm an Enneagram 3, I like it because I know some people don't, because it says, like, that kind of just labels you. But it was helpful for me to be like, wow, I do value, I find my value in what I do. And so practicing of like, no, like even if I rest, I'm worthy of this. Even if, I'm not doing anything, like this is who I am.
My question right now is, in this regard, are you willing to submit to your husband, to the Holy Spirit? Because I see you being confronted by more of these situations. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just going with the usual tendencies. And so the reason why I asked the whole submission part is, I think there can be times, like with when you were leaving the one department, you told me and I'm like, babe, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And you just kept, no, it is, no, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is. You were just like, I'm going to feel what I'm going to feel. And that's it. Like, I'm not going to listen to you. And not going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to listen to nobody. Like, I'm just going to go with what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And so the question would be, are you willing to submit? Because in that scenario, you might have been able to hear me.
Yeah.
And been like, you know what? Like, he's, again, reading whatever it is that's on your phone. Like, he does love me. He does want the best of me. So why not listen to him? Why not at least take into consideration what he's saying? Mm-hmm. Why not press pause on my feelings right now and kind of meditate on this and see if there's truth to this? And, you know, I think you, the way that you are, you'd find some justification to be right in the middle of like, oh, let me take a little bit of David and a little bit of like what I'm already feeling and kind of have a happy medium, you know? But yeah, I think that's super important because you can't expect something that you've been practicing your whole life. You're going to be able to just do it on your own.
Yeah, for sure. And the last 2 points, which I'll answer your question, was surround yourself with people who respect your boundaries, which would be you.
Mm-hmm.
And see God's approval over people's applause, which was what we read in Galatians 1:10.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do feel like I'm getting used to that because, again, with all my justifying, you're a great, like, no, have more boundaries. Like, you never told me to not. And then Carrie's really good at that too. Like, she puts boundaries, and so she understands when I have boundaries. And I think even at our church, where I'm like, I don't know how they are. So I'm like, oh, trying to be super kind, super like justifying everything. And they're like, no, like, it's okay. And I see it as kind of like, maybe their work ethic isn't up to par. I'm like, no, maybe they just respect my boundaries. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. But to be honest, if I can answer like with complete honesty about your question, I think part of me is fear and maybe a little distrust of where it's like, okay, but are you taking my feelings? Because I think you can still go black and white. Right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that in the past. So I feel like you're like, no, just say no, cut them. That's it. And fear is like, you're not taking my feelings into consideration. This is hard for me that this, like, I want to be seen as kind or I want to be seen as this. And so a little distrusting of, okay, but is he having like the best interest or is he just like fed up with the situation? Because I feel like sometimes also when I tell you, you just seem not like, I don't know if lighthearted is the right word, but like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, is this like real advice or is she just kind of over it, not that serious? And so I think it does come from like fear.
From my perspective, what you just said, what I heard you say was, I'm scared to be different. And because I think there's a part of you that feels like the way that you've been has kind of worked out for you.
Mm.
People do usually like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a very liked person. You're sought out. And so I think also maybe it coming from me where you're like, dude's kind of like a jerk. Like he doesn't care who likes him or doesn't like him, you know? Like yeah. You're probably like, I got to take this with a grain of salt. But what I think, what I'm thinking is if it's continuously taking a toll on you, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
And as a husband that loves you, yeah, I'm going to kind of be blunt with you. And the reason is because A, I know you. You're going to want to be in the middle. You're like, oh, like it, yeah, you've always sure. been that way. And, you know, I've kind of brought it up before where it's just like, I could say the same thing. And then somebody that you actually admire even more than me, you go, they said this and they rocked my world and it changed my life, whatever, right? And so like maybe it's the wrong messenger. I don't know. But I think that first you've created a safe space for me. So I don't usually sugarcoat things for you.
Yeah.
Because you know that I love you. You know that the things that I say usually when it has to do with this kind of stuff, like I hope you know that, you know, I love you and I want the yeah. best for you. And so in that scenario, you're about to leave this department. The one of the reasons why I go like, just it's not that big a deal is because you're making it a big deal. Mm. You're making it a humongous deal and you're carrying like what seems to be 1,000 pounds and you weigh only 100 and you're like, babe, this is really hard for me. I'm like basically saying like, babe, drop it. You don't need to carry it. And you're like, no, but I need to carry it. I'm like, that's not your responsibility. Let it go. Like, it's not that big a deal. Let it go.
Yeah.
You're like, no. And with you saying like, taking your feelings into consideration, I mean, how much in this area of your life can you trust your feelings? Your feelings has gotten you to, yes, a place where you are a people pleaser. People do like you, but it constantly takes an emotional toll on you. You know, especially in those type of scenarios. And I think that's why I just, and because of our relationship, this is how it usually goes. This is how it usually goes. Grace says, I have a problem. This is my problem. This is a huge problem. And I go, babe, here's a solution. No, 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 no. But my problem is like even more intense than what your answer is. I'm like, babe, like, okay, like this is how you fix it. No, 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 no. But like, you're not getting it. Like feel my feelings or whatever. And I'm like on the third time, I'm like, oh, okay. It's not that big a deal. And you go, no, 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 but it's a huge deal. And then I usually get to the point where I go, just do whatever it is that you want to do then. Because the reason why I say do whatever it is that you want to do is because you're not listening. Like there is, when I ask you like, would you be willing to submit? There is no submission in that.
Yeah, for sure.
That conversation that we're having. You're basically just saying, this is my big issue. This is what I feel. I just need you to validate it. And maybe in that moment, like I should just validate it. And that's probably something that me and you need to talk about offline. Like, how do we like manage that sort of scenario? Because maybe in that scenario, you just need to be validated. And here I am being a man trying to solve it for you. And you're like, I don't want it to be solved right now. I just need you to feel what I feel and be with me, right? But right now we're on the topic of people pleasing and making that better. I think that's why I said like, it's very important for you to either submit to your husband or submit to like at least the Holy Spirit. Like, and what that means would be you stopping. I'm feeling all these emotions. I'm feeling overstimulated. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling anxiety. Stopping, maybe in an impromptu like journal writing. This is what I feel. This is what the truth is. Like,
yeah,
all like that in that moment. Because you usually just journal in the morning. So like an impromptu journal reading, like, or just praying, meditating, whatever it is. And I'm sure you would come up with the same conclusion. It's not that big a deal. I'm not a bad person. I'm doing the right thing. You know, I've never known you to do something out of malice. I've never known you. I've always known you to really care about what other people think, how they feel. And again, because you're a people pleaser. And so I know that you will never say no. You'll never step away from something without taking all that into consideration. But you need to get to the point where it's just like, okay, I'm carrying 1,000 pounds when it does. I don't need to be carrying that.
Yeah, for sure. No, and I definitely do think I need to submit to you and the Holy Spirit. And I do think, I mean, I personally think, because I'm like, both can happen at the same time. I, how you said, like, men usually want to solve problems, mm-hmm. and women don't want to hear it. I think both can be correct. Because I'm just thinking about, like, a therapist, or even, like, Carrie. I told her the exact same problem. And usually therapists say, like, I hear you say this and this. So I think when you're like, okay, I can see why you think it's a big deal because of this, it puts me down to be like, he gets it. So now I can hear it. Versus I'm like, he doesn't get it. So I'm not going to hear your solution. Because mm-hmm. Carrie, I went up to Carrie, again, I made this a huge deal. And I know, like, it's so much easier seeing it outside of the box than in. And Carrie was like, that is a tough situation. Like, she was telling me why it would be harmful to you or like the leader, like whatever. And then she gave me advice. I'm like, okay, like she feels what it could be the same advice, but it's again, that trust thing. It's like, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So I think it's just that, but for sure, I think journaling, I think I should do it more often. And I'm glad we talked about it because I'm hoping the list of are you a people pleaser, the things that you can do are helpful to people. And maybe journaling to see like, get to the bottom of it, of like, what is the root or roots that are causing this?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's hard just because, you know, what you said that you and Carrie talked about, and that is a big, big issue, you know, like it's hard for me because, it's hard for me to, I guess, be empathetic or put myself in your shoes because I'm like, if I was in her shoes, this would be so easy. Like, I wouldn't be worrying about this. And I think that's why, like, as men, we try to just cut right to, like, the solution because we're like, you don't have... I don't like you seeing you, like, quote-unquote, suffer like this.
Yeah.
I want to get you to the solution as fast as possible because that way you can take off the weight and you can be like, oh, my gosh, like, it just feels so much better, you know? Whew, and that's the whole dynamic of a man and a woman communicating because a woman's like, no, slow down. Feel what I feel. Let's just stand in this for a second. And I'm just, it is hard for me. Like even you saying that, I know that it's the right thing, right? But I can't even like picture me being like, oh, let's just
but
I'd have to take a humongous deep breath and be like, I know this is going to be like 30 seconds, the longest 30 seconds of my life, but I have to say this for her to be able to hear my solution. Like for me to be like, oh, babe, that's, oh my gosh, how are you doing that? Like,
but, don't you think like Jesus did that and saying like, I'm assuming he looked down at, and probably not because he's Jesus, but if I were Jesus, he's like, look down on us. It's like, come on, this is easy. It's not that big of a deal. Like, look away from the temptation. Don't do this. Like, this is the solution.
You're saying, do I think that Jesus does that?
No. Like, I'm saying he could have, him being God,
okay,
could have said, come on, guys, it's not that big of a deal. Don't sin. Like, how hard is it? Like, come on. But he became flesh. He said, he put ourselves in our shoes,
mm-hmm.
and said, I understand what it feels like to thirst, what it feels like to hunger, what it feels like to be tempted. And so here I provide the solution.
I think that...
You think it's a reach?
I think that backfires on you because you're like, he came in, made himself flesh, and he lived a perfect life.
So yeah, just like, no, but so he could say, I know you. I feel like you don't say to that or I feel what you feel like you can get through. Like I feel like you don't get that part where you're like, I understand why you feel that. Like you're like, I don't get it. Like it's hard for you to put yourself in other people's shoes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And like Jesus put himself in other people's shoes. Like, let me know. It doesn't mean he wasn't like, I can't do this or like, I don't get it. He put himself in other shoes. So he's like, I understand you. I feel you. And to you, it's a big deal. To him, it wasn't. He could get over it fine. But he's like, to you, it's a big deal. I get you. I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I have to work on it. I have to work on that for sure.
I have to work on people pleasing.
Right? It's really hard though. It's really hard because I'm just like, the solution's right there. It's so easy. Like, and again, it's just the feeling of a husband.
Yeah.
Trying to get my wife out of what seems to be a furnace.
For sure.
And I'm like, I want to save you as fast as possible.
But I think God...
No, feel the heat with me. Feel it. It burns.
I think God, I always say this, like created us so opposite or gave us our strengths and our weaknesses is like what we need to learn. Mm. Like I need to learn how to submit. You need to learn how to meet me, like be empathetic and be patient. And like it's, we both lacking what we need to learn.
I will say the last thing that I'm going to say is there is a fear of mine because again, you have tendencies and your tendencies is usually, if you even listen to me, you always negotiate. And again, you don't like going, I don't know if it's just me or if it's with everybody, but I can give you, like, let's say I go through the whole, like, oh, I feel it. Oh my gosh, I feel so understood by you. We're so connected. And then I give you the solution. You're like, oh my gosh, that's great. But let me just scoot it more into the middle. And I'm like, no.
That could be my challenger.
And that's the thing that I'm fearful of.
Yeah.
Of like, and I this is maybe just me justifying myself of why I am the way I am with you in this kind of scenario. But I feel like that's why I'm so just like, no, like this is a way, because I don't want to negotiate, because I know this or I believe this to be true. Mm-hmm. And again, a husband wants to see his wife out of the furnace. I want you to be safe. I want you to be okay. I don't want you to hold the turmoil, hold the stress for longer than you have to. But you have a tendency of like, that's a really good solution. But but the people. And I'm like, the people are not your responsibility. No, but what if they get mad at me or sad at me? That's not your responsibility. That it's like the negotiation. And again, like, then it goes back to this submissiveness where I'm like, okay, she ain't going to hear this. Like, do whatever it is that you want.
But I feel like, be patient. Like, it's a learning curve for me too. So I'm not going to just not care about people's feelings.
It's not about not caring about
people. One day to the other.
I don't think you yourself could never not care about people.
Oh, but I'm saying like, it's going to be practice. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that you're patient with me, just how I'm patient with you.
I have endless patience for you.
To be honest, I thought this was going to be a short podcast, but it's a good conversation. Mm-hmm. I have one last question.
Okay.
Just to...
Yes, I do love you.
Get it out of there. What's the difference between kindness and people-pleasing?
That's basically saying what's the difference between loving people and people-pleasing.
Okay. What's the difference?
I think the difference is, okay.
Because I think for people pleasing, that line gets blurred.
No.
And we bend over backwards, thinking it's in the name of love.
Yes, of
kindness.
Course. Yes. Of course. Oh man, there's a good way to say this. I just can't figure it out, but it's kind of like, okay, I wish I could say it really nice because I'm sure there's like a real cool way to say this. I want to have like a, what's that guy's name? Irwin... I forgot what his last name is, but I want to have that type of moment where I just say something, just
mic drop.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like
highlight
that.
Reel.
But people pleasing, you are sacrificing yourself for those people and sacrificing your mental health, your physical health, maybe your spiritual health. Whereas when you love people, I think you yourself are complete. Mm. And like you yourself are complete and you kind of just
overflow. From your
yes.
Wholeness.
Like you aren't, there's a, like when you people please, there's a dependency.
Yeah.
And when you love people, there isn't really a dependency. Like, I love you regardless. And you could love me and you could love me or you could not love me. But yeah. There's also a security in your identity of like, I know I'm doing right. I'm doing the best that I can, you know, like. And I think that's what the difference is like you aren't, your whole life isn't swayed.
Yeah.
You know, like you try your best, you do your best and that's it. You're okay with it.
Yeah. No, I think that's good just to solidify, like, so people could be like, okay, am I loving? Am I people pleasing?
There's got to be a cooler way to say that though. I'm sure there is.
No, and I do think the church in a good intention says like, right, sacrifice, like love people, but especially not knowing like maybe the culture or like the predispositions we have or whatever. Like people are like, yeah, yeah. And they again get burnt out in the name of love. And it's like, that's not love. That's a lack of self-confidence. That's a lack of identity, how you said. That's a lack of love, being yourself.
Yeah, I think complete people pleasing is very toxic.
Yeah.
For yourself, not for the other people. The other people love it.
That's what, yeah, they eat it up. And then that's why you get a dopamine hit and it just continues. It's like an addiction. You continue the cycle of self-destruction because you're getting affirmation. You're getting something good.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't do it. But I hope this was helpful to you guys. It for sure was to me. And now I know that David will keep me accountable and we'll work on that trust, patience relationship.
Can't wait for the arguments.
And we'll let you know how it's go if you remind us. But I do think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this. I think this is something that maybe it's just my circle because I'm surrounded by church people, but I would like to assume it's out there in the world too. So let us know in the comments what you think. Maybe if those questions are something that you guys resonated with. And yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback. We're always so grateful. And so please like, comment, share, subscribe if you haven't already. And we will see you guys here next week. Bye.
See ya.